Welcome back, everybody, to another deep dive. We love to pick apart these ancient texts, and today we're going to be looking at the Book of Ecclesiastes with the help of the great Dr. Alfer.
I love his lectures.
Me too. He just makes these ancient ideas come alive, And we're going to focus on the first six chapters today, where Kalulit really starts wrestling with this whole idea of meaninglessness.
Yeah, those first few chapters just set the tone for the entire book, don't they? It's just so, like, in your face with that word hevel right from the start.
Yeah, it's like, whoa, okay, I get it. Life is meaningless.
You know,
what is that word? I mean, it's vanity. It's like a vapor. Just like, poof.
Yeah, it's like a punch to the gut for sure.
It really is.
But at the same time, it's like, it's so honest, Like, he's not trying to sugarcoat anything.
Right, he's just laying it all out there.
And I think that's what makes Ecclesiastes so relatable, even thousands of years later.
Totally. So who is this guy? I mean, Kohele, this is not some ordinary dude pondering the meaning of life. This is like a king, right?
Yeah. He's like the ultimate insight.
At all. Power, wealth, wisdom.
And he's still struggling with this feeling that everything is meaningless.
Right. It's like he's saying, look, I've tried it all. I've seen it all. And guess what? It's all chasing after the wind.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Right. Like you're running and running, but you're not actually getting anywhere.
Have you ever felt like that? Like you're just on a treadmill going and going, but not really making any progress.
Oh, yeah. All the time. Especially like in my career, Sometimes it feels like I'm just spinning my wheels.
Yeah. I think we've all been there. It's that feeling of striving for something that you can never quite grasp.
And it's so frustrating. But then Kohelet does this interesting thing. He becomes this quester, the seeker, He's not just wallowing in despair. He's actively searching for something more.
He's looking for that lasting value, that utron.
Utron? What is utron?
Yeah, it's like the opposite of hevel. It's that sense of lasting gain or surplus, something that transcends the temporary nature of life.
Okay, so it's like he's searching for the antidote to meaninglessness.
Exactly. He's trying to find that something that will make it all worthwhile.
But where do you even begin to look for something like that?
One of the first places Kohelet looks is at the cyclical nature of life. Remember that poem in chapter one about the sun and the wind and the rivers?
Yeah, it's so beautiful, but it's also kind of depressing, right?
It can be.
Yeah.
Because it highlights the fact that everything keeps repeating itself.
Like we're all just stuck in these endless loops.
The sun rises and sets, the wind blows, the rivers flow, generations come and go, but the earth remains.
And it makes you feel so small, doesn't it?
It does. Like, what's the point of it all if everything just keeps going back to the beginning?
Where's the lasting impact? Where's the individual's mark on the world?
And that's the question that Kohelet is wrestling with. If everything is cyclical, where's the ultimate game?
It's a tough one for sure.
But it's a question that I think we all have to grapple with at some point in our lives.
Yeah, for sure. So Kohelet starts with hevel, and then he looks at the cycles of life, and then he goes on to explore wisdom, right?
Right. And this is where things get really interesting for me. Because you'd think that someone as wise as Kohelet would have it all figured out.
He's a king, for crying out loud. He's got all the wisdom and knowledge in the world.
But even he admits that wisdom has its limits.
It's like that old saying, the more you know, the more you realize you don't know.
Exactly. And Kohelet even says that, for with much wisdom comes much sorrow. The more knowledge, the more grief.
Oof, that's a heavy one.
It is. But it's also incredibly honest. Yeah. Like, he's not pretending that wisdom is a cure-all for life's problems.
So even wisdom can't save us from feeling meaningless.
It seems that way.
Yeah.
But I think that's just the beginning of Kohelet's journey. He's not giving up. He's just acknowledging the limitations of wisdom.
So where does he go from there?
Well, he decides to experiment with everything. Pleasure, badness, folly. He even tries throwing himself into work and building projects.
It's like he's trying to find meaning in all the wrong places.
Yeah, he's going down all these different rabbit holes trying to see if anything will satisfy that deep longing in his heart.
Does he find anything? Well, that's a story for part two of our deep dive. Stay tuned.
I'm on the edge of my seat already. We'll be back soon to continue this fascinating journey through the Book of Ecclesiastes with Dr. Alfer. Don't go anywhere.
All right. So last time we left off with Kohelet, trying all these different things, trying to find meaning and satisfaction outside of God, in pleasure and work and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, he's really going all out, isn't he? Like leaving no stone unturned.
Exactly. But it's like every path he tries, it just leads him back to that same feeling of hevel, like all just chasing after the wind.
And yet I think there's something profoundly hopeful about that. Like the fact that he's willing to be so honest about his struggles.
I see what you mean. It's like he's giving us permission to wrestle with those same questions, you know, to admit that we don't have it all figured out.
Exactly. And he doesn't leave us hanging in despair either. He actually offers some really practical wisdom along the way.
Okay, so spill the beans. What are some of these nuggets of wisdom that Qehelet drops on us?
Well, one that really stood out to me is his observation about death. Remember that line about how the wise man and the fool both end up in the same place?
Yeah, it's kind of morbid when you think about it. Like, no matter what you do in life, you're still going to die.
True. But I think that's where the wisdom comes in. Because if death is the great equalizer, then maybe all that stuff we spend our lives striving for isn't as important as we think it is.
It's like a reality check, isn't it? Like all the money and power and possessions in the world can't save you from that ultimate fate.
And that leads to the question. If it all ends anyway, what truly matters?
What a question. I mean, that's like the ultimate question, isn't it?
It is. And Qehelet doesn't shy away from it. He dives right into the deep end. But instead of offering a definitive answer, he gives us this really interesting framework for thinking about life. He calls it better than thinking.
Ah, yes. The better than theology. I love this part. It's like he's saying, look, I might not know what the meaning of life is, but I can tell you it's better than wasting your time on things that don't matter.
That's a great way to put it. It's like he's giving us a roadmap for navigating a world that can often feel confusing and meaningless.
So instead of getting bogged down in the big existential questions, he's giving us some practical advice on how to live a good life.
Exactly. And one of the first things he says is better is wisdom. Remember how we talked about the limitations of wisdom earlier?
Yeah, like how even the wisest person in the world can't escape the feeling of hevel.
Right. But Qehelet still maintains that wisdom is better than folly, just as light is better than darkness.
I love that analogy. It's so simple, but so powerful. Like, wisdom illuminates our path. It helps us make better choices, even if it can't solve all our problems.
And it connects back to that idea of chasing after the wind. Foolishness leads us down dead ends, while wisdom helps us stay on track.
So even if we can't figure out the meaning of life, we can still choose to live wisely. We can choose to walk in the light.
Beautifully said. And along with wisdom, Qehelet also encourages us to find joy in the simple things. Remember those enjoy life refrains that he sprinkles throughout the book?
Oh, yeah. Those are great. It's like he's giving us permission to take a break from all the heavy thinking and just enjoy the good stuff.
Exactly. And he reminds us that those good things are gifts from God. That first refrain after he talks about all his failed experiments, he says, a man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. This, too, I see, is from the hand of God.
It's such a human moment, isn't it? Like, after all that searching and striving, he comes back to the simple pleasures of life. A good meal, a good drink, a sense of accomplishment in your work.
And the fact that he acknowledges that these things are from God is really important. It's like he's saying that even in a world that can feel meaningless, there's still a divine hand at work providing for us and giving us good gifts to enjoy.
It's like that word halak, again, our portion.
Yeah.
God gives each of us a unique set of gifts and experiences to enjoy.
And I think that's a powerful message for us today. In a world that's so obsessed with comparison and competition, it's easy to lose sight of what we've been given.
It's like we're always looking at what other people have instead of appreciating our own portion.
But Qehelet is reminding us to find contentment in what God has provided for us, to be grateful for the simple joys, and to trust that he has a plan for our lives, even when we don't understand it.
That's a great segue into another one of Qehelet's key themes, the whole idea of time and God's sovereignty.
Oh, yeah, that incredible poem in chapter 3 about there being a time for everything.
It's like a song, isn't it? With all those contrasting pairs, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot. It really captures the ebb and flow of life.
And that Hebrew word for time, a, it's so multifaceted. It can refer to a specific point in time, a season, an opportunity, or even an appointed time ordained by God.
Wow, so it's not just about chronological time, but about the deeper meaning and purpose behind each season of life.
Exactly, and I think that's what Qehelet's getting at here. There's a divine order to time, a rhythm, and a purpose that we might not always understand, but can learn to trust.
But then he goes on to say that God has set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. That's a tough one to wrap your head around.
It is. It's like we have this innate longing for something beyond the here and now, but we can't quite grasp it with our limited human minds.
It's frustrating, isn't it? Like, we want to understand God's plan, but it's ultimately beyond our comprehension.
But I think there's also a sense of freedom in that surrender. Like, we can let go of our need to control everything and trust that God is working all things together for our good.
It's like taking a deep breath and saying, okay, God, I don't get it, but I trust you.
Exactly. And that brings us to another one of Qohelet's better than observations, the importance of companionship. Remember that passage about how two are better than one?
Yeah, it's like he's saying, hey, life is tough. You're going to need some people in your corner.
And it makes sense, right? We're wired for relationship. We need each other for support, encouragement, and just to share the burdens of life.
He even says that a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. It's like that old saying, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together.
I love that. And I think it's a powerful message for us in today's world where it's so easy to feel isolated and disconnected.
Okay, so we've got wisdom, we've got simple joys, we've got companionship. What else does Qohelet have in store for us?
Well, as we move into chapter 5, he starts to talk about how to approach God in light of all these complexities.
Oh, yeah. He says, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools. It's like he's calling for humility and reverence in our worship.
Yes. And he reminds us that God is in heaven and you are on earth. So let your words be few. It's a powerful statement about the vast difference between humanity and the divine.
It's like he's saying, don't try to impress God with your fancy words or empty rituals. Just come before him with a humble heart and a willingness to listen.
And that same attitude of humility should extend to our dealings with each other. Qohelet warns against making vows we can't keep and letting our words lead us into sin.
It's like he's saying that our words have power and we should use them carefully and thoughtfully.
And then he turns his attention to another really interesting topic. The irony of wealth.
Oh, yeah. He talks about how whoever loves money never has enough, and whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. It's like the classic case of the more you have, the more you want.
And he even points out that as goods increase, so do those who consume them. It's like the more we acquire, the more our expenses seem to grow.
It's a cycle that so many of us get caught up in. We think that having more will bring us happiness, but it often just leads to more stress and responsibility.
And it speaks to that insatiable nature of greed. Like, no matter how much we have, it's never enough.
And then he drops this bombshell in chapter 6, the idea of the grievous evil.
Yeah, the man who has everything but can't enjoy any of it.
It's a real head-scratcher, isn't it? Like, why would God give someone all these blessings but not allow them to experience true happiness?
It's a mystery, for sure. But I think it points to a deeper truth about the human condition. Even when we achieve worldly success, we can't escape the reality of suffering, loss, and ultimately death.
It's like Qohelet saying that true happiness and fulfillment come from something beyond what we can see and touch, something that transcends our earthly pursuits.
And I think that something is ultimately our relationship with God. It's about recognizing that everything we have is a gift from him and finding joy in those gifts regardless of our circumstances.
It's a powerful message, isn't it? And it's one that I think we all need to hear in today's world.
Absolutely. But there's still more to unpack in Ecclesiastes. We haven't even touched on the final chapters yet.
I can't wait to dive in. This book is full of so much wisdom and insight. So we've been on quite the journey with Qohelet, haven't we? Through all the ups and downs, the highs and lows of life.
It's been a real roller coaster ride.
I mean, we've talked about everything from the meaninglessness of life to the importance of finding joy in the simple things.
And we've still got more to uncover.
Like that whole grievous evil thing from chapter 6, it's still kind of bugging me, you know?
Yeah. It's one of those passages that really gets under your skin, doesn't it?
Like, what's the deal with that guy? The one who has everything but can't enjoy any of it.
It's almost like a curse, isn't it? To have all the blessings in the world but not be able to experience them fully.
It makes you wonder what's the point of it all, right? If you can have all the success and wealth but still end up feeling empty.
It challenges our assumptions about what truly matters in life, doesn't it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we're so conditioned to think that happiness comes from having more stuff or achieving more goals. But Qohelet seems to be saying that's not always the case.
And he doesn't really give us a clear-cut answer as to why this happens, does he? It's more like he's presenting us with a mystery, a glimpse into the complexities of the human experience.
Right. Like, we can't always understand God's ways or why things happen the way they do. Sometimes life just throws us curveballs.
But even in those moments of uncertainty, I think Qohelet is urging us to trust in God's goodness, to believe that he has a plan, even when we can't see it.
And to remember that true happiness and fulfillment come from something deeper than just our circumstances.
That's so important to remember, especially in today's world where we're bombarded with messages that tell us we need more to be happy.
It's like we're always chasing after something that's just out of reach.
But Qohelet reminds us that we already have everything we truly need. It's about recognizing those gifts and finding joy in them.
It's about that helic again, right? Our portion, what God has given us.
And it's not about comparing our portion to someone else's or feeling envious or dissatisfied.
It's about being content with what we have and using it to glorify God.
Exactly. And I think that's a really powerful message for us today. It's so easy to get caught up in the comparison game and lose sight of what truly matters.
But Qohelet is calling us back to a simpler way of life, a life that's focused on God and the things that have eternal value.
And part of that simple life is recognizing that we can't take anything with us when we die.
Yeah, he really drives that point home, doesn't he? All the wealth and possessions and achievements we accumulate in this life, they all stay behind.
It's a sobering thought.
It is. But it's also liberating in a way because it frees us from the need to constantly strive for more.
It allows us to let go of our attachments to material things and focus on the things that really matter.
Like our relationships with God and with each other.
Exactly. And that brings us back to Qohelet's emphasis on finding joy in the present moment, in the simple pleasures of life.
Like spending time with loved ones, enjoying a good meal, or just being grateful for the beauty of creation.
And these things don't require wealth or status or achievement. They're available to everyone.
They're gifts from God that we can enjoy every single day.
And I think that's the ultimate message of Ecclesiastes. It's not about figuring out all the answers to life's big questions.
It's about learning to live with wisdom, humility, and a deep trust in God, even when we don't understand his ways.
It's about finding joy in the midst of uncertainty and embracing the beauty of the present moment.
So what do you say? Are you ready to embrace the wisdom of Ecclesiastes and start living a life that's full of meaning and purpose?
I'm in. Let's do this.
Me too. Thanks for joining us on this incredible journey through the book of Ecclesiastes. We hope you've been inspired and challenged by Qohelet's words.